From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. I'll update you on the latest agricultural news, and we'll also hear from Eric Snodgrass at Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible about the weather forecast right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today settled at $7.84 and a half. That was down 3¾. The September 4 lower at $7.37¾. And December contract 4 cents lower at $7.31. July soybeans $7.02, down 7½. The August 8½ lower at $16.22¼. And November beans going into the holiday weekend, the new crop at $15.37½ for the oil seed, down 5¾¢. Bean meal up 8½¢ at $4.38.10, and the bean oil for the day at $73.79, $2.55 lower. July soft red winter wheat down 44¢, settled at $10.34¼. The hard red at $11.05, 43½¢ lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, 27½¢ higher for the day at $136.57½ for 100 pounds. Feeders at $172.95, up $1.65, and lean hogs $1.85 higher at $107.87½. Crude oil at $107.02 a barrel. That's down $8.06 today. Diesel fuel, 22⅛¢ lower at $4.18¢, and the wholesale price of gasoline at $3.65, down 19¢. Natural gas, 50¢ lower at $6.95¢ for the afternoon. Mike Zuzlo, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday, heading into a three-day weekend. Hi, Michael. How did the marketplace react going into this three-day weekend, by the way?
Well, they kind of reversed all their thinking from Thursday. I mean, it's weather, it's summer. You know, you had the Fed policy meeting. I was hoping that we would have a little bit more clarity on price trend by the time we got to the middle of the week, later part of the week, having all the inflation data and the Fed policy and the weather models going up into the weekend, maybe showing more clarity, but not to be. It was more of a bipolar trade Friday. We had a global recession fear hit the trade, including the currencies, the metals, the energies, and wheat fell prey to that, I think, along with one of those typical harvest Fridays, even though harvest in the hard red wheat belt doesn't seem to be anything but dismal at this stage of the game. You compare that to the weather market and the idea that on Thursday we were 30-day CPC model showing hot and dry, 10-day models for both European and GFS showing hot and dry, and then we come in Friday morning and a couple of those model runs showed quite a bit of moisture for the central part of the country as we got into Wednesday, Thursday of next week. So very bipolar trade, not very much decided. Technicals are back on a very vulnerable situation on the weekly bean and weekly wheat charts.
Tell me a bit more about that and what your considerations will be going into the trade starting on Monday night next week.
Yeah, the considerations I have, Todd, are, you know, going back to the longer term fundamentals, not trying to get too wrapped up in the weather, knowing that this is a key weather market because global supplies are so tight and the Ukrainian supplies are not coming, and I don't think they will come at all at this point unless they're shipped out of Russia. So my mindset is I'll play the technicals at face value. If we break trend lines after Monday night, Tuesday trade, and it looks like we're going to go down another 10-15% because that's the next support area for both beans and wheat, I'll recommend getting some hedges in place for the beans, doing it on paper. For the wheat, I'm going to probably recommend just sticking my neck out and just dealing with cash marketings, assuming that the weaker yields, especially in hard red wheat country, will offset with a more positive basis if futures falls.
What do we see from the livestock side of this marketplace?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. We don't get to talk about it too much. It was really nice to see the livestock close so strongly on Friday. All three meets up. Obviously, the feeders found support from the weaker corn, but what gave the pork side, the ham side, and the hog side the ability to rally? And the cutout is, you know, rallying very nicely. And I will just put it to you this way, Todd. I think the summer grilling season to start is much better than I had expected, and probably better than the trade had expected. We'll see if we can keep that up. But it is really a good indicator. If we can keep the livestock market rallying, then that should support the grains eventually.
That is a good sign, that consumers are still spending. Are they going to cut back, do you suppose, very much? And we'll hear this later that maybe they have started. But do you suppose they'll cut very much back on miles driven and vacation time in the car this year?
Yeah, I do. I think they'll choose the easiest way to cut back. I mean, credit card debt now is back up to 20% because the short-term interest rates have been climbing so rapidly. Department of Energy said that our gasoline demand implied on a four-week average is down a little over 1% versus a year ago. It's the diesel that's really hitting us. It's down almost 6% versus a year ago. And I think this is where the soybeans on Thursday and Friday kind of unwound. We saw canola go down, vegetable oils go down, and I think it's in part because of Malaysia, but also in part because we're going to really trim the jet fuel demand and trim the overall diesel demand. And if we don't trim it, we're going to have to pay more in terms of higher prices for finished goods. So I think we're in the middle of really ramping up consumption erosion, consumption demand, and we're going to find more about that out in the next 3 weeks.
I can see the diesel being trimmed back and airline energy running part of that. But the other side of that is there's just an awful lot of trucks still on the road, and things have to change if we're really going to cut diesel back very much.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One thing that I did see, though, in the economic data, both from Target and some of the other retailers, the big box stores, the chain stores, is that they're building up in inventories, and they're actually receiving containers now that they ordered, you know, a year ago, roughly. And they're not sure they're going to be consumers to take on that demand. So I think you'll see the shipping really pull back here in the summertime if these prices for fuel don't come down pretty quickly.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Just have a great weekend, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zuzlo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Monday, the agricultural commodity trade at the CME Group in Chicago will be closed, at least through Monday evening. So the Monday session closed. That runs Sunday night into Monday throughout the day. We will have a closing market report that day, a special holiday edition, a look at Juneteenth and the Civil War on Monday. You want to tune in for that. And you can always find our programming online whenever you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. The Closing Market Report and Commodity Week are both there. That second program, Commodity Week, posted already for this week. And you'll hear it on our home station if you can stay with us for the whole hour today. Many of these radio stations over the weekend. It was a good program. Mike Zuzlo joined us for that one yesterday, along with Greg Johnson of TGM here in Champaign County, Aaron Curtis from Midco out of Normal, Illinois, and the Ted Spread. Ted Seifert was here from Chicago on Commodity Week. It's up on our website at willag.org right now. And of course, is a podcast. Look it up in your favorite podcast applications. Well, let's talk about corn demand in one respect, ethanol or renewable fuels. Falling gasoline demand could be bad news for renewable fuels like ethanol. The national average cash price has topped $5 a gallon. It's an all-time high, and gas demand is dropping because of this rising price. David Widmar is an economist with Agricultural Economic Insights, and he says gas prices are a big topic of conversation, and for good reason.
Right, a lot of conversation, a lot of data talking about high gasoline prices. We've just crossed $5 a gallon at the national average. And one of the things that we've seen in the data, relatively quickly actually, going all the way back in March, we've seen gasoline usage slump. We are below pre-pandemic normals. And so when we look at 2015 to 2019, sort of that as a normal range, we're running about 91% of those levels. And so we're going to start to have another conversation here around gasoline usage, gasoline consumption, and all the implications that has for the broader U.S. economy, but also the ag economy.
AEI, or Agricultural Economic Insights, is in West Lafayette, Indiana. Widmar says as gasoline demand drops because of high prices, that's not a good sign for renewable fuel blending.
We have to start to wonder about that relationship between renewable fuel and energy. And so when we have this slowdown in the broader economy through less driving, less economic activity, it's going to start to convert into how many gallons of renewable fuel can we physically blend. Ethanol can be a competitive alternative, but we still have this blending problem. And it's all going to be about the number of gallons of gasoline we consume in the economy and how much can we blend. And in general, a lower amount of gasoline used means less ethanol for a potential blend.
And the longer the high gas prices push demand lower, the more agriculture will be watching what it means for corn demand.
The longer it persists, the more changes in human behavior we might expect, the more attractive it might be to buy a more fuel-efficient vehicle or to maybe even consider changing in how your daily routines are. So those behaviors start to become more appealing, more desirable. And then the last piece here that I think we're going to have to really struggle with the next 3 to 6 months is how does this impact ultimately corn usage or maybe even soybean oil usage as we start thinking about an economy that might just be using less oil in light of these high prices.
And Mr. Widmar says the overall economy, as well as the agricultural economy, are at a tipping point.
We've kind of got to this $5 mark. If we start to see a back away from this, economic impacts broadly in the U.S. economy, but also maybe the impacts in total gasoline consumption and renewable energy consumed from ag products, we're going to have an impact, but it might just be a bit of a passing impact. If these high energy prices stick around and persist, yeah, I think we have to start recalibrating and readjusting our assumptions. But these disruptions can take time to work through, and that's going to create more uncertainty. And I think that's the key here. It's going to create more uncertainty for ag markets moving forward.
Again, that was David Widmar. He's of Agricultural Economic Insights. That's at AEI.AG. Let's check the weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thank you for being with us. Looks like we might have a cool down in our area. We'll talk about that in a moment. However, I do want to talk about the storm system that moved across a portion of the Corn Belt last night through today. I was checking to see whether the farm in Logan County had picked up rainfall. Sure looks like that was probably the case, around 4/10, though here in Champaign County, we didn't get anything. Can you tell me about what that storm did and where it ran?
Well, first of all, I wish it was twice the size. That would have been nice. Four of us, this dry swath that kind of stretches from Arkansas through Missouri, then through East Central Illinois and Indiana. But it only clipped the bottom half of that. And yeah, those storms came up the other day in Kansas, and we watched them all night just keep pressing into the unstable air. And then sure enough, this morning, it's good. And that's really how things have been across the Corn Belt as of late. I mean, you just recapped this last week, right? We had a derecho on Monday hit the Eastern Corn Belt, a massive storm, by the way, before that hit Chicago. And then ahead of that, we had severe storms producing huge hail in South Dakota, Nebraska. It's just been this periphery around the ridge that's been just hammered. And underneath it, we set a lot of records. In fact, Midwest Regional Climate Center said this past week, there were over 500 records either tied or matched. And that includes both high temperature records and then also high low temperature records as well. So that ridge that we saw set up here really, really put us through the ringer this week. And we're not done seeing those yet.
No, well, when does it come back? Although it looks like we'll have a couple of cool days.
Oh, yeah. We lucked out this weekend. We're going to be just getting the benefit of this front that came through. And yeah, Saturday, fantastic. Sunday's okay. But while I'm saying that, it's 74 degrees in Sacramento, California. And then by Sunday, the heat that is not in the west returns back to the central United States. Fargo will hit 103 degrees Fahrenheit on Sunday. So you know where that heat's going to go. It's going to come to us again next week when we see our temperatures once again getting well into the 90s, which is about 8-9 degrees above average for this time of year. Our normal highs probably in the mid 80s. We'll push toward our climatological max highs once we get into the middle of July. So we still have more room to go on taking in the heat. But here's going to be the thing. You'll look at any map forecasting precipitation, and they all just look very, very dry from the whole of the plains into the Midwest to the East, and especially in the Mid-South. But of all those areas, the only area that I am most concerned about developing drought is the Mid-South. So I'm talking about, you know, Eastern Oklahoma, parts of Kansas, but Missouri, Arkansas, Southern Illinois, Western Tennessee, Kentucky. If that area goes dry, our ears need to perk up and watch to see how it evolves in the summer. And here's why. We'll get ridge riding storms. They'll be every day coming over the top of that. So the Northern Plains, the upper Midwest, parts of the Eastern Corn Belt, yep, we're going to see storms. Even though the models aren't forecasting it, I'm telling you they're going to be there. But if we don't get the moisture into the Mid-South, later on this year, if that builds up a big kind of dome of dry air, moisture trying to come up from the Gulf can't get through it, and that could push us towards some drought stress later in the year. So your next 2 weeks, don't just watch the local weather here in Illinois. Keep an eye on every place to our south. I think that's going to be key to see for what July is going to look like.
Well, do you have an indication of what we will see in July as of yet?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I love just to blend together a lot of different sources, but the one I'm leaning on right now is actually NOAA and the National Weather Service. They just released yesterday, on the 16th, their new July outlook. And it is solid. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with what they've got, which is risk of greatest drought development centered on Missouri and the surrounding states. And that does include Illinois, but we're on the periphery, meaning we could get those ridge riding storms coming over the top that save the day. They've got us mild. They've got us temperatures with, excuse me, let me rephrase that. Because sometimes you say mild and people think pleasant. I mean warmer than average. So they've got us with some warmer than average conditions going into summer. And as a result, it looks as though the system will kind of feed back on itself to regenerate more ridges right here in the mid part of the country. And all that means is we will have regional drought development, and there will be some places that see their yield and production fall off because the dryness will be so regionally focused that it hits some places hard. But you know, Todd, real quick, we did have a user email me, or listener, excuse me, email me.
Yes.
And say, can you just give me some good news? So, and what he was asking for was, what can I watch with you to know if it's all going to bust apart and the forecast will fall apart and we'll be in better shape? So this is it, okay? What you need to watch is the Gulf of Alaska. Now, I keep talking about these troughs of low pressure coming through there, hitting the Northwest, and they go straight to Canada. If we get the jet stream hitting the Northwest and splitting, where some of it goes way north into British Columbia and the bottom piece goes into Mexico, we're in business. So the story will be told. I think the first part of the story, if there's a pattern change, it will come out of the Gulf of Mexico first. So watch that with us. We'll talk about it every week to see if it's breaking down. But that's going to be the piece that'll fall first to change the whole pattern. And it likely will at some point later on this summer.
No, that'll be fun to watch. Better check in on Europe before I let you go for the day.
Yeah, you may have heard some of the news reports about France getting their high temperatures into the low 40s Celsius. So that's triple digit heat. Remember, a lot of folks in France don't have air conditioning either. So this is incredibly hot, and it's having a toll on the crop. Well, that heat wave is moving east all for the next 7 or 8 days, which means it's going to get over to like Romania and then eventually into Ukraine. And Romania and Ukraine, of course, grow a lot of wheat and corn and soybeans. So they're going to go through a time of high heat just like we are. And that could also stress the crops there, which, by the way, they are farther along. What did get planted is farther along than the crops like in Illinois. So that could be some untimely heat coming through that area. It's just something to watch because when La Niñas happen, they tend to get heat waves and drought risks just like we do here in the Midwest.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet.
That's Eric Stondgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand whenever you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. Look us up in your favorite podcast application as well. One of the easiest ways to do that, in fact, is just to go to willag.org, hit the podcast page, and then in each of the players, the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast are all in the podcast page, not the homepage, but the podcast page. You'll find a link there. There is a way to subscribe to each of those podcasts on things like Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many, many more. And if you happen to have Alexa or Google in your house, you can just ask either one of them to play the programs, especially if you're already subscribed on your phone or a tablet or any place else. Up next, our Commodity Week program.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Aaron Curtis. He's at Midco Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Greg Johnson joins us from TGM Total Grain Marketing here in Champaign, Illinois. And Ted Seifert is here from Zahner Group at Zahner.com in Chicago. Mike Zuzlow also joins us from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. That's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Let's begin by getting a list of things that maybe we should discuss for the day. Aaron Curtis, from your perspective at the elevator in Midco, what do you think?
Well, today it seemed like we kind of finally divorced ourselves from the outside markets and focused back more on weather. Is that here to stay? We're back to kind of fundamentals on corn, beans, and wheat, or do we still have some influence from what looks like some negative action in the outside market still going to weigh on commodities here as we move into July?
Greg Johnson from TGM, Total Grain Marketing. Your list are a couple of items?
Well, the first crop ratings came out for corn. We'll get our first crop ratings. We got our first crop rating for beans this past week. We've had two now for corn. And I know it's still early, but we are off to a good start if you look at the percentage of good to excellent. So I guess, it kind of ties into the weather, but does an early start or does a good start translate into a good crop later on down the road? Or how much weather do we still have to go through yet, I guess?
From the Zahner Group, Ted Seifert, what do you think about the discussion points for the day?
Yeah, I think the outside markets we got to pay a lot of attention to that because, this overall inflationary climate that we have in the markets is a very large component of the pricing that we have. If you look at a corn balance sheet, a 1.4 billion bushel carryover, you might say, hey, that's a fairly bullish number. Maybe that's 6.25, maybe it's 6.50 corn, but maybe not 7.85. So you have to understand that a lot of this is inflation and what's happening in these outside markets and whether that inflationary bubble is bursting has a big input on what we have as far as pricing is concerned.
And finally, Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com.
Well, Todd, it'd be nice to hear from the others what they think of the new headline that busted out while we were taping Commodity Week. And that was from Reuters suggesting that Russia says it's assisting exports of Ukrainian foodstuffs out of the Azov Sea. So we know now, the Secretary of Agriculture and with this report, we know now that Russia is using Ukrainian grain and shipping it into the Middle East and North Africa. How is the market going to react to that, especially given the lack of political willpower that we've seen so far?
Mike Zuzla is with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. He and Ted Seifert of Zahner Group at Zahner.com and Greg Johnson from TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com, along with Aaron Curtis of Midco at Midco.com, joined us on our Closing Market Report Commodity Week program. You can find more of it online right now if you'd like. The whole of the program, in fact, at willag.org, and many of these radio stations will carry the Commodity Week program over the weekend. Just a quick reminder that the markets are closed in observance of Juneteenth on Monday and will open Monday evening again. We'll have a closing market report on Monday afternoon and then talk about the markets on Tuesday during this program. You have a great weekend. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.